Open your Bible to Luke chapter 8 today and also to Mark chapter 5. Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5. Again, it is a blessing to be here. Can't say that enough. I always enjoy coming here. And every time I come, some of the same people are here. So I haven't scared anybody away yet. So that's a blessing. And so thank God for that. Amen. And you'll never know what a difference your faithfulness means to people. You know, I travel some and I still preach abroad. And it's one of the greatest blessings is when you go back to a church you preached before. And some of the same people are there, but also new people are there. You like for both to be there, but you like at least the ones you saw before to be there. And because God really requires one simple thing, just as stewards, be faithful. You know, so often we look to do so much for God and we think we need to do this, but God just said be faithful. Moreover, brethren, it was required of stewards that a man be found faithful. But Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read in there, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 5 after that. But if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you to stand just for a moment while we read the scriptures, just to honor the word of God. I want to make it clear that it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with honoring the man. It's only the honor of the scriptures. So if you would stand just for a moment. And one of the greatest things that really changed my life is when I began to read the Bible and began to understand that the Bible is the Word of God. That it's not just good rules for daily living, but it is actually the Word of God. And Luke chapter 8, by the way, if you have pains, you don't have to get up. So appreciate you getting up, sir, but just whatever. But in Luke chapter 8, beginning verse number 43, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." We're going to get the message today from what we find in verse number 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, so I'm going to preach today, the life that cannot be hid. The life that cannot be hid. Father, you know what you like to do in the hearts of these precious people in my heart. So I'll ask you very simply, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing to honor the scriptures. I love reading just about every story in the Bible. Even the ones that convict me, I like those because that means God's speaking to me and continuing and trying to work on me. Because for me, even the bad news is good news. Because if I can hear the bad news, that means God's not done with me yet. He's still trying to make me better or purge me to bring forth more fruit. But in this story here, and it's always amazing when you see what Jesus does. I love reading the Bible, the life of Jesus, how he just handle absolutely every situation the right way. And so all my life, I'm looking, well, how do I want to do this? You know, it became kind of popular almost years ago, like WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, and you notice that's kind of faded because people really don't ask that question anymore because they really don't want to model the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a shame, you know, because one of the easiest ways to witness to people is through the life of Jesus Christ. You know, so often when people want to debate religion and how do you know the truth? And I just tell them, quite frankly, if you will interpret the Bible through the life that you see the Lord Jesus Christ live in the Bible, you will always come up with the right interpretation. Because Jesus came to the earth to glorify the Heavenly Father and to live for other people and also to die for other people. That was his purpose. And because you won't find self in there, you won't have any self-motivation. You'll always look and you'll be looking, okay, how would this glorify the Heavenly Father? And how would this be used to help somebody else? And when you read the Bible like that, you'll always find the right interpretation. You know, I don't find much room for me, but you know what I find out? When I empty myself, God fills me. But when I seek to fill myself, I stay empty. And it's amazing how, and that's what the Bible, he that loveth his life shall lose it. But in this passage here, we see a situation here. And in the world today, if you are a concerned follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes it comes across your mind, I'd like to make a difference. How can I really make an impact in this world with the way it is right now, with so many that have so little interest in God, and so many just seem to, even those that have an interest in God, it's not really, it's kind of a casual interest, not like they really want God to be the Lord of their life. I was talking to a pastor a couple weeks ago, and he had a man in his church, been with him 15 years, just come to him and say, basically, he no longer wanted the Lord to be the ruler in his life. And that's heartbreaking, you know, and that someone would say that after serving God 15 years, that they do not want God in control of their life. But the sad reality of that is that he said that with his words. Many say that with their life every single day, that they do not want the Lord to be the ruler of their life. But this woman here, and she's in a situation, she's got a problem, and we find out, we read the story, but God, Jesus touches her, amen. Every time I read that, when I hear that, when he says, who hath touched me? I want to say, me. He touched me, amen. And hope, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, you should say, he touched me. If he didn't touch anybody else, he touched me. But this woman here, after being in this crowd, we read the story, she exercised faith, and even though she did not really want to be visible at that moment in her life, she simply could not be hid. Jesus would not allow it, and he used her in a great and mighty way that the faith of others would be encouraged, like you and me today, still hundreds of years later, still reading this story because of the power of a life that could not be hid. Now, in Mark chapter 5, really he's going to work through the text, and this passage is a corresponding text of the gospel here, same story, but just laid out a little differently. But I wanted to catch that part because that text specifically says she could not be hid. But if you want to have a life that cannot be hid, number one, the life that cannot be hid knows that there is nothing physical in this world that can make them whole. The life that cannot be hid knows that there is nothing physical in this world that can make them whole. Because we see in verse number 26 of Mark chapter 5, or 25 and 26, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, this is a long time to be suffering from something. And it suffered many things and many physicians. Now, the word suffered has an application there. It means allowed. And so she allowed many things of many physicians to try to help her, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now, in the passage you read in Mark, if I remember correctly, the Bible said that she had spent all her living. And when you think about the way it says like that, not only has she expended all her resources, but spent all her living. That means, you know, sometimes you don't have money, but you still have some life in you. Anybody ever been broke before and been happy? Somebody say, that's my life every single day. Especially if it's Thursday and payday's Friday, you know, and you're trying to praise God, wait for the next day. Say, Lord, I hope the banks don't collapse and that electronic deposit goes through. Back in my day, they hand out paper checks, you know, and I don't forget, years ago, I was so happy having this job, and God answered prayer, and it was my second or third paycheck from the job, and she gives it to me, the owner of the company does. Now, you have to wait a few days for the cash this. That's not very encouraging. And I was holding that check, and like, whew. You have the old, anybody know what a hot check is? Anybody old enough to know what a hot check is? That means it looks good, but that money, it's also going to be bouncing all over creation. Anyway, so she spent all her living. She tried the doctors. She tried all her financial resources and all her living. That may be hope. If we were put that in modern day vernacular, I mean, she searched Google for healing. She searched the internet. She went to the naturopathic doctor. She went everywhere she could look to try to be made whole, and came up 100% empty. But you know that she was in prime position for Jesus to do something in her life. You know, and so often in our life, you know, now notice, and Jesus uses particular words, made whole. You know, you can be here today and not have the issue of blood, but not be whole. You know, I can think of times in my Christian life when I've been in church and been going and still a whole feeling like there's something missing. There's something missing. And reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, and I said, well, maybe it's just this, you know. Well, maybe if I just have this. Maybe if I just lost 20 pounds, I'd be whole. And all these different things that you can use to build your identity and your thoughts upon. If I was shorter, taller, if I had different color hair, if I had straight hair, if I had curly hair, if I had different color eyes, all these kind of things that people do to try to find a way to be whole. If I had a boyfriend, if I had a girlfriend, if I was married, if I were single, you know, if I could just have that, I could be whole, you know. But and that life stays hidden because those type of thoughts just kind of brings you more and more into yourself, because those thoughts and those pursuits never ever bring any wholeness. But the life that cannot be hidden knows that there's nothing physical that can make them whole. Number two, the life that cannot be hid makes a decision based upon what they have heard of Jesus. Now, catch this. Makes a decision based upon what they have heard of Jesus, not what they have seen or experienced from Jesus. The life that cannot be hid makes a decision based upon what they have heard of Jesus, not what they have seen or experienced from him. Because in our passage here, we see in verse number 27 of Mark chapter 5, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, this is quite significant because you know the story. We read the end of the story already. In the passage, it says that there are multitudes that throng him. And we don't hear any accounts about what's happening with other people thronging him. But apparently at this particular time, everybody that thronged him didn't get healed. Because he stops the crowd and he says, who touched me? And even disciples almost like, well, Lord, what are you saying? We don't want to say anything disrespectful, but you know, master, you know, there's multitudes of people thronging you and you said, who touched you? And they're thinking like, well, master, everybody's touching you. And because we read even before in the beginning, verse 24, keeping in chronological order, that much people followed and thronged him. And so if she were just based on what she was seeing at that time, she wouldn't have reached out and touched him. And she had no experience in her life at that time that made the difference that Jesus could do anything with her. Because apparently this is the only condition she ever had. She's had it 12 years, but she heard of Jesus and she heard that he healed people and she heard that he helped people. And although it had never personally happened to her, she said, you know what? I believe what I heard about it. And that's where faith comes in. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, and that's one of the most, if you really understand what that's saying, let's turn there, matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your place, and Mark will be back sometime before 2:30. That's what time you normally get out, right? Okay, just checking. If you ever want somebody to tell the truth in church, ask them what time they normally get out. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. The word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let's read it down to verse 6. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith. Now, I'm glad for all the creation information we have out there. I'm glad for all the scientific information we have that shows the reality of biblical creation. But you know, the way you only really know it, the way you understand it, is through faith. You know, if there wasn't any creation ministry whatsoever, if there wasn't any going on, and praise God for people doing this work, but the Bible said through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, through faith, we understand that, you know, God spoke and it happened. Amen. Because he says it was framed by the word of God. Everything that you look out in the stars tonight. When I was a child growing up in Texas, I used to love to sometimes just lay in the grass at night and look at the stars and used to think about, man, that's amazing. I wasn't even saved, but I knew God did that. Amen. So, but through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this is a powerful thought. You really think about this. You know, sometimes we often struggle with faith because we can't see how God's going to do that. But do you understand that if you're in a situation where you need to exercise faith, the only reason you're in that situation is because God made something out of nothing. Because there was nothing and God said, let in the beginning, God created. Create means to make something out of nothing. We were created. God took something out of nothing. He made the earth. Then he took the dirt of the earth that he'd made from nothing and then made you and me, the dust of the ground. And so the very reason that if you're in a struggle right now, that you're in that struggle right now is because God made something out of nothing. And so why could he not, but in your situation, I don't see how God can do this. Well, you and I can't see how we could ever be here because there was nothing there. And if you really think about it, if you let your mind really catch the glory of that, that makes what God can do so much easier. Because I'm alive today because he made something out of nothing. So in this situation where I have no idea how he can do that, well, I guess it's just as simple as him speaking it. Amen. So that's what, and that turns us back to the word of God. Amen. Now, we're in here. Okay. Now, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated. Oh, I love reading about Enoch. Was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I wanted to preach today, finding the faith to come to God. But we're going to hit a little bit in there. But, you know, because this woman makes a decision based on what she heard of Jesus. You know, you won't come to God unless you believe that he is. Now, as simple as that sounds, man, it's sometimes hard to get to that place. This woman got to the place where he is. The doctors couldn't help her. Her money couldn't help her. Her living couldn't help her. And based on what she heard, she believed that he is. And you want sincerely, see the heart, see faith is one of those things, you know, I've dealt with people, how do I trust God? How do I believe God? We have to believe that he is. You know, how is it that you can take like money and go into, you can take a piece of plastic, a piece of colored plastic, and you can go somewhere, you go to a store and notice somebody has all this merchandise here. You can take a colored shaped piece of plastic and you can with boldness and confidence give them that, and they'll let you leave the store with something so much larger in size and dimension, sometimes more vivid in color. And you can leave that store without shame, without guilt, and without future punishment. Because you believe that that money is the way to have what you want from that store. And you should believe it is. Like my son the other day, he's five and lost his first tooth, you know, and we put a toonie under his pillow, you know. We don't tell him it's a tooth fairy. We just tell him money's coming because they lost a tooth, you know. And if you tell him it's tooth fairy, I don't care either. Do whatever you want to do. but he got that toonie, you know. And he said, "I said, well," he said, "Papa, I really wanted a gold one." So obviously he has no value of money, right? And I said, "Do you know that this one is worth two of those gold ones?" He's like, "Really?" So, but he had his own value system based for that money. And so even though he had something better, he couldn't even appreciate it because he didn't really know what is. And faith is the safest way you could ever live your life. But you know, when we don't really have an appreciation for that value, we look at, man, I sure really have some physical evidence. I sure really have something I can see. But when we believe that he is, that is what allows God to work in our life. That is where the evidence comes in. And that's when you read Hebrews 11, all the miraculous things happen through faith. This woman, her faith, she made a decision based upon what she heard of Jesus, not what she had seen or experienced from Jesus. And then there again, we have to go back to ground zero. Do you believe the word of God? Or do you believe it's just rules for living that your church teaches? But when you believe it's the word of God, then when it says something about Jesus, you know, I never really did that before. In fact, I never seen that even happen for anybody before. But I believe that he is. And you trust God based on that. I can tell you different stories in my Christian life and times when I needed a miracle from God, and I read a verse in the Bible and the Spirit of God say, that's the answer. And in my flesh says, who can I talk to about this? Who else have I seen this work for before? You know, but that's not believing that he is. Because when you believe that he is, no one or anything can say anything any different. Like, I'm saved today by the grace of God. I was born again January 20th, 1993. You know, my faith is so based upon Jesus Christ. There's not one religious leader that could fail or leave the ministry or go into sin that would shake my faith whatsoever. Doesn't matter who it is. If it were my own pastor that trained me for the ministry, if he came out tomorrow and said, Jesus is a phony, I'd say, I'm saved by Jesus. Believe what you want to believe. Amen. Because I believe that he is. And my faith is grounded in that. And the other things, in the times when I needed help from God, and different things again and again and again and again, I want confidence. I believe that he is. And this woman, and there again, in my life, a new territory, new situation. I remember the first miracle job I had to have. God gave me a verse, John 14:13. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petition we desired of him. God gave me the verse. And whatsoever he asked in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Father, I just want your son to be glorified. I need help in this situation. Boom. Miracle. And like a case after case after case. I didn't have time to look around for people. And that brings us back to the next point. And if you go back to Mark chapter 5. So number one, the life that cannot be hid knows that there is nothing physical that can make them whole. Number two, the life that cannot be hid makes a decision based upon what they have heard of Jesus, not what they have seen or experienced from Jesus. Number three, the life that cannot be hid makes a personal decision to touch Jesus. Well, you might say it like this. The life that cannot be hid makes a personal decision to reach out to Jesus. Both in the same. And the reason I say this, and this, we just kind of led into this. Because what we see in this woman so far, again, other people are thronging him. And she's not told anybody why she's touched him. And the proof of that is because when he said, who touched me, nobody answered because they didn't know it was her. Even the disciples, well, multitudes of people, who could have touched you any different than anybody else? But there's one person that knew who touched him different than anybody else. It was her. And the way for your life to get to that place where it cannot be hid, there again, it's got to be a time with you alone with God in the prayer closet. And you've got to personally reach out to him, knowing what you believe in him. Because see, I can, as a pastor or even as a Christian friend, I can encourage you to do something for God, and you may follow that, and you may reach out to that, and many times people get discouraged because they follow good biblical counseling, and it didn't really seem like it worked, because it was really an extension of their faith in the person whom they respected more than it was actual faith in the name that is above every name. And the difference that it makes is that when you actually believe it's his name and you believe in Jesus Christ, you reach out to him, and it's just so, it's so private, because it's like, well, I just believe in him. You know, and it's like this woman, she's in the crowd, and one passage says she touched the border of his garment, and I don't know how she did it through the multitudes, if she kind of stuck her hand through the crowd and kind of hit the garment. However she did it, she knew who she was going after, amen. And she didn't have to tell anybody, Pastor, I've been struggling with this for 12 years, and I kind of think Jesus could help me. What do you think about this? Now, that's not altogether bad, but I'm just saying, but it's altogether better if you've heard it from here, and the Spirit of God brings confirmation. Guess what? If God is a miraculous worker in your life, there's no pastor under the sun to be mad at you. If not, send him to me so I can talk to him, amen. But she made a personal decision. You know, some of my greatest struggles in my life, sometimes they've been, man, I know what the Bible says about this. I'm looking at the Bible verses, and that's pretty clear. God, you know I need a miracle, and I know you, and you said you can do anything. But Lord, I don't know anybody else has been in a situation like this before. We actually did what I'm asking for. And I'm like, whoa, what do I do about this? So, now I'm going to tell you a story. I can't remember if I told this before. And you may think I'm charismatic, but I'm biblical. Amen. My wife has struggled for something, this problem with her inner intestine for years. And I've been praying, crying out to God. In fact, I went to a preacher one time, and I was praying out. We've seen people heal my church. And I said, I talked to this preacher. I said, God has healed everybody in the church except my wife. I have no idea what to do. I was ready to quit the ministry. I was just so frustrated. But why won't he help everybody except my wife? I can laugh about it now because God's done a work. But she'd be laid up time is sick. And she was, one day, I would listen to the Bible. I got to the point I was just screwed. I couldn't even read the Bible. I would just listen to it because I just couldn't bring myself just to open it and look at it. And so I would listen to the Bible. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit is good. Brought out this verse by Peter's wife's mother-in-law. And the Bible said that Jesus rebuked the fever. And I thought to myself, that's rather interesting. And I said to him, I read the whole passage, and I thought, it wasn't anything about the devil. It wasn't anything satanic. But why did Jesus rebuke the fever? And then I was reading. Then I started reading my Bible. got to John chapter 14. And the Bible said, and greater works than these works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these shall we do. And so I went to my wife and I said, dear, I said, you don't think I'm crazy. I just have to do what I believe God's leading me to do at this moment. And she was, like I said, having all kinds of trouble in her stomach and it'd been bothered for a long time. And I just went to her stomach. And I said, I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke whatever this is inside of her. And you know, I just prayed in Jesus' name and I left the room. And wife came back to another room and she said, I don't know what happened, but something left my body. And she's been different ever since. And by what you're probably thinking right now, who could I have called to get an agreement with me about what they do in that situation? But it worked, amen, because the Bible works, you know. And this woman, in her situation, she was grieved. She was tormented because of this issue of blood 12 years. And she just simply heard of Jesus. And if she'd asked somebody, well, do you think Jesus could help me in this situation? Well, dear, you've been sick 12 years now already. If God wanted to heal you, don't you think he would have healed you by now? If God wanted to help you, if God was going to answer your prayer, don't you think he would have did it by now? You don't raise your hand, but you ever ask somebody about something you struggle with and they say, I've raised my hand. I've got that advice from people before. Well, if he were going to do something, he would already do it. But it's got to be a personal touch. It's got to be a faith that what you've heard from him, you believe it'll work. And this woman reached out by what she heard, and all of a sudden she was changed. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew. We'll come back to Mark in a moment. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, the Word of God says this. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Like this, like what this told you, I've told very few people, because I'm just glad my wife is better. But for some reason, you're supposed to know it today. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Very simple explanation of that. Don't keep score. If you bless somebody, you know, if you just don't keep score. You know, I help people every time I can. Sometimes I give them money, and I don't even keep track and don't know who it is. You know, I can't. Some people say, well, you know, I wish they finally do something for me. I do this for them all the time. That means you know what your left hand, you know what your left hand knows what your right hand is doing. Just don't keep score. Just bless and go on. That then alms may be in secret, verse 4, Matthew 6. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and without I shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And here it is, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In secret, she reached out to touch him. And Jesus said, stop. Jesus stopped the whole thing. Who touched me? Who was that? Who touched me? I don't know how. Well, I'm kind of emotional. Jesus is not like me, probably, but, well, I know he's not. Thank you, Lord. But he probably didn't respond to the situation like I did, because, see, Jesus knows what he can do. You know, I'm probably so emotional because I don't have enough faith. You know, should I be surprised if God did what he said he could do? You know, because if you start your car, anybody drive here today? Anybody start their car and go, whoa, whoa, combustion, whoa. No, you figured it would happen, right? But sometimes my excitement is like, wow, God did that. But anyway, private touch. But it's got to be based on what you heard about him, though. And let me say this, although a preacher may have said it, you have to hear it from Jesus. Don't base your faith on how you hear it. But base your faith on who you hear it from. You know, anybody, whatever Freddie does tonight, if it's from the Word of God, you better listen like Jesus himself was preaching it. Because they have the same impact. Don't be wild by presentation. Don't be wild by demonstration. Be wild by just the pure power of the Word of God. And when you catch that gravity, I tell you, I love when kids quote the Bible. I mean, sometimes you have the little kid at Sunday school and they'll quote the Bible. I can get them to start running over a kid reading the Bible. Because it ain't, I'm not looking for the oratory. It's like, whoa, that was the Word of God. I forever etched in my mind is when my girls were, I think, 7 or 8, and for Resurrection Sunday, they memorized, they stood before the church, and they said, I can say, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. I said, yes! He is not here. And they were, you know, partly scared, but just the magnitude. Every time I read that verse, I hear their voices. Because the power of the Word of God. Amen. He is not here. He's risen, as he said. He's alive. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 9, Matthew 9, since we're in Matthew 6. So remember to reach him in secret. He reward thee openly. And again, we see the confirmation. We see the same story here, explained a different way. Verse 20, Matthew 9. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Notice what he said right here. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Again, she said it within herself. Back to Mark chapter 5. So we see the light that cannot be hid knows that there is nothing physical that can make them whole. Number 2, makes a decision based on what they have heard of Jesus, not what they have seen or experienced from Jesus. Number 3, makes a personal decision to reach out to Jesus. Number 4, fearfully worships the Lord in truth. The life that cannot be hid fearfully worships the Lord in truth. You know, I don't mind lively music. But you know, in religion often is trying to create an experience through the sensual that nobody's experienced through the spiritual. Like I said, there's a song called He Touched Me. I guess anybody in this room, everybody familiar with that song, He Touched Me? Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. But since the hand of Jesus touched me, my life no longer has been the same. Oh, He touched me. Thank God that Jesus touched me. You know, anybody in this room can sing that song right now. They could be off key. They could miss half the notes. And I would still shout. You know why? Because He touched me. because the magnitude of the truth would cause me to worship and praise God because He touched me. You know, and that type of, when God has really done something in your life, it doesn't really matter how it's really expressed sometimes. It can be, if the truth is brought out, man, it just drives home. Whether it be lively, where you're tapping your toe, whether it be whatever kind of music you want to talk to. But when the truth is there, man, you'll just fearfully worship the Lord. Because notice in verse 32, let's read 31 again. I just love reading about the disciples. Well, verse 30, and when Jesus, verse 30, Mark 5, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, notice this, if you don't know any Bible, that's where it is, knowing what was done in her. Are you saved today? If you're saved today, you know you're saved? Knowing what was done in you. Knowing what was done in you. Not, well, you know, I said a prayer, X, Y, Z, whatever time. No, knowing what was done in you. Yeah, I prayed when I got saved, but I know what was done in me. Something happened, amen. Something happened. Now, I know what was done to me. And you know what? I knew that day, if I believed on Christ, He would do exactly what He said He would do. I believe that He is that day. But the woman fearing and trembling. Now, here's worship here. Fearing. Here's the fear. She couldn't say no to that voice. You know what to make this a true worship service? If those that know Him, I just can't say no to that voice. Because he asked in the crowd, just like I'm preaching today. He said, "Who touched me?" And she could have very easily act like she wasn't hearing Him. But she couldn't help it. She just couldn't help it. Because she feared. She said, "I just can't say no to that voice." Ever since I've been saved, I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's teaching. There's something about me that when I come to the service, I want to know what that Bible says, and I want to adjust my life to the Word of God. Because I know what was done in me, and I want to do more of what that same Word has done for me. And it says, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done there, came, and here it is, and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Jesus said, I think it's John 4, verse 24, "They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth." So, worship is right. Truth is right. You know, and in the life that cannot be hid, they fearfully worship the Lord in truth. You know, it's okay if some emotion goes along with the truth, but you better have some truth or it won't really be worship. And one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 8, verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread." Often in religion, we fear everything except but God. We fear failure. We fear compromise, even. We don't need to compromise. We don't need to be afraid to compromise. That's how you compromise, being afraid to compromise. Because then you react to something instead of just, what does the Bible say about this? You know? We're afraid to be alone. But that was the life of Jesus. But when you have real salvation, you know, he fills you. I heard the guy say years ago, he said, but have you ever been lonely since you've been saved? He said, yes, I've been lonely, but never alone. Lonely, but never alone. All of us have some lonely moments in time. Jesus in the garden had helped everybody, healed everybody. Most difficult time of his life, and wasn't one person that could pray with him at that time. But they were all sleeping. Nobody could catch the magnitude and seriousness of what he was going through. That's if you're trying to serve God right now, that's kind of like your life right now. You're trying to be serious, and nobody around you just can see, well, why are you taking this so serious? It's just church. It's just, you just get on with your life. Why are you taking this so seriously? And everybody's sleeping, don't caring about the things of this world. And you said, but he touched me. When he speaks, there's something about me that just, I know he's talking to me. And I just have to do something. I have to trust him. I have this hunger that when he speaks, and although there's a multitude of people, and everybody looked like they were doing the same thing I was doing. Praise God, isn't that good? That'll help you right there. There's a multitude of people that looked like they were doing the same thing I was doing. He said, who touched me? And I could just sit here like the rest of them, but I know something happened. I know something happened. and I just cannot be silent. And trembling, she came before him. She had respect for the magnitude of the presence of God. Trembling, she came before him and told him all the truth. Is it okay if I tell the truth about myself while I'm preaching? Is it okay? Can I tell the truth while I'm preaching? Is that all right? I went to the Man Up conference yesterday, and the first preacher, Brother Paul, he preached on walking with God. I'm a pastor now. Now I'm listening to that message. And I'm thinking, man, do I really walk with God like I need to? And all of us there, hearing the same thing. Apparently, we gave our time, our money, because it cost to come to the meeting, right? To come and hear. And he's talking about walking with God, and you walk with God, they didn't even have an invitation because it was in the way they did it, but they did have a break by the grace of God. And something on the inside that said, you know, I don't know what anybody else does, but I know he's talking to me. I don't walk with God like I need to. And I need to. And he said, Father, I don't care about hearing anything else. I must walk with you like I need to. You know, I was afraid to leave that meeting without getting that straight. Not because I was afraid God was going to drop the hammer on me and hurt me. I was afraid because I love him. And he wants me to walk with me. And you know why he wants me to walk with him? Because he loves me. The reason he wants you to serve him, because, you know, he loved you so much he made you. Now, I've been studying about the way God loves, and you know, it's one amazing thought that really crossed my mind. I feel like this is crooked. I guess it didn't bother me for some reason. Sorry about that. Amazing about the love of God. I was thinking about how God loves, and here's God all by himself from eternity past. Now the Bible says that God is what? We're talking about God is what? Pardon? It's a L word. Love. God is love. Okay, now think about this from the fact that God is love. Here's God all by himself from eternity past. It's always been God. Never not been God. From eternity past, just been him. But he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. So from eternity past, he's always been love. So I said, and love is not something that God does. Love is who God is. But so God's love, and he said, you know what? Somehow I got to manifest. I'm love. I got to do something. So he creates something to love. He makes you. He makes me to love us. He makes mankind to love the world. Even the fallen angels, they weren't the angels, but they weren't content. Even God gave them favor and honor. But for some reason, don't understand the whole plan. I can't explain how all that worked out, but they sinned against God and caused man to sin. But since the Lord doesn't change, I still got to love. I created them to hear my voice. Remember, in the garden, God's voice would walk through the midst of the garden. I created them to love them. I got to do that. I'm love. How can I get them back? Well, from eternity past, it's written, the wages of sin is death. So it has to be death. There must be a death. I can't lie. Well, I'll die. God and the Father, Jesus and the Father are one. So God said, who is love, I'll die. We say it's his son, but they're one. They're one. You understand? So God said, I will die. It's right to distinguish them, but it's right to equate them. God said, I will die for those I love. So he dies. Pays the price. Separates from himself. Number one, to be humiliated, to be robed in flesh. Goes down to the lowest parts of hell. Suffers darkness. Being separated. Experiences what real hell is, separated from God himself. Resurrects from the grave, that he might continue to love. And then he gives laws. Then he comes. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Why? So because he wants to love you. You know, I found out, you know, when you love, man, God loves you more. By that, I mean his love doesn't change the kitchen. Now, I can't love you if I'm not. I can love you in my heart, but I really can't actively love you if I'm not around you. You understand what I'm saying? My love may not change. It's like sometimes I travel and I love my wife and I love my children, but I can't really show them that love until I'm there with them. I can speak to them. I can call them. I can, all these phone ways down, Google, whatever. What's the iPhone talk with it? Whatever thing is called. Google, man, y'all know what I mean. Don't let me get sidetracked. But God loves. God created you to love. And so every directive, every command, so you can hear his voice, so he can love you more. So when he calls to you, like no doubt there's probably some people today that you're not whole. Either you've never been born again, or you're saved and you're still kind of grasping for something to make you whole. If I can just have this, I'll be whole. If I could just be able to do this, I'll be whole. If I just had more money, I could be made whole. And as long as that's your mindset, it'll be what Christianity is today. Just one of many people in the crowd. That's why nobody really has much interest in Christianity, because it's just a multitude. What's happened to us by and large, we're a multitude of people in the crowd that we're whole. We're not whole. And we've heard of Jesus. But we're just, well, surely there's got to be some other way. Maybe you're in year 11. Of your blood issue, maybe in year 6 of your blood issue, or maybe you're in the 12th year and you've just given up hope that Jesus can actually make you whole. And so you stay hidden. And hidden place is a lonely place. But oh, when she, after he touched her, after he called her out, after she touched him, she fearfully worshiped the Lord in truth. And last of all, the life that cannot be hid, knows from Jesus himself the power of personal faith. The life that cannot be hid knows from Jesus himself the power of personal faith. Verse 34, here's what the word of God says. And he said unto her, daughter, I love the sound of that. God saying to one daughter. My children, my girls, they've called me Papa for years, but different time they've started recent years to call me Father. At first I didn't like it because I thought it seemed too impersonal. Then I began to study about the Father. They're not calling me God the Father. You understand? But I realized the reason they changed it because they wanted a personal term that they chose to endear me by. And Jesus says, and so when they said, I'll say daughter, not just because it to respond to them in the way they showed love for me. And he said to her daughter, here's what he said now. He didn't say my power made you whole, which was true. He didn't say my clothes made you whole. My virtue that went out made you whole. He says, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Kenosis, there's two holes here. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. There were two holes here. One was just a spiritual hole, and the other was a physical hole. And notice the spiritual one takes precedence over the physical one. Because for the moment, she, by faith, said Jesus is the answer. She was whole with him. Because I believe within that touch there was a resolve that he's the one. He's the one. And then he said also, be holy like plague also. And when your life is no longer hid, you know, we don't have to do things to set out be separated in the crowd. And I'm for separation. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you know what the greatest separation is? When God himself calls you out in the crowd and who touched me. And you have to say something because he touched me. Sometimes it's just as simple. You know, I remember when I worked in secular work, I worked a lot of jobs from hanging live turkeys and all kind of crazy stuff. But right before I went into ministry, and I must say, you've not lived till you hung live turkeys. So don't be jealous, though. And I worked in the corporate office, and there's times that, you know, we're allegedly these professionals because we work in the corporate world. I called my wife after working in the corporate office a week. I said, dear, I work with a bunch of overgrown, spoiled brats. If you work in the corporate world, I'm not mad at you, but if you work in the corporate world, you can probably say, yep, that's true. If God is, now you might not be one of them, but if you work in the corporate world, you've seen it happen. I tell you, you talk about tantrums? You talk about complaints? I mean, just like, I can't have this envision that you went to the corporate America, you kind of resolve things kind of professionally, and you know. Well, Bob, I really don't appreciate you talking in that situation. Can we talk this in a peaceful manner? No, it's just, anyway. But there was occasion that there would be talking about different situations. People say this is the answer and that's the answer. And you know, and people would talk about this society and this work is bad, this situation. And in the midst of those conversations, somebody would say, a little voice would say, who touched me? And those moments, God would have me speak up without even realizing it. That, wow, no, Jesus is the answer for this, you know. One of the first situations, we had one of the first major school shootings, and everybody was saying, man, we need more security in the public schools, and we need more this, we need more that, and without even thinking about it, the Spirit of God just came. I said, Proverbs 21:30 says that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Unless God moves in the school system, there's absolutely nothing anybody will ever be able to do to make it safe enough for any child. And amazingly enough, the conversation was over. But he touched me, and I knew that by faith. I've been in a situation where God preserved my health. God kept me alive. God kept me safe. I was working in my car a few months before we moved to Canada, and I had some leak underneath there, and I was adjusting the car, and all of a sudden the jack collapsed, and the car pinned me to the ground. And my 2-year-old son Samuel, well, no, he was four. Samuel was four at that time. He came out. He said, "What are you doing, Papa?" I said, "Well, can you go in the house and tell Mom I need her to get the van off me?" And I said, "Now," I said, and I told him, "I said, no, you have to be calm. I said, go very quietly and just, but clearly tell mama I need to come out and get the van off me. So he walks in. Mama said, he came in, his chest stuck out. Mama, Papa said he needs help getting the van off of him. So she positioned the jack, and actually, Samuel, I don't know how he did, strong as all. Samuel at four almost jacked up the van by himself. And God just did that, you know, just one of those things. And if I'd have been just a few inches over, the transmission would have pinned my chest. But I was just far enough away to where I was pinned to the ground, but I missed the transmission, so my chest didn't collapse on me. But it's one of those different things God does. That was a minor one. So I can tell you, but I can tell you his faith has saved me, his faith has healed me, his faith has delivered me. And all because of me hearing one day that Jesus can do anything. When I got saved at January 20th, I heard about Jesus all my life, but I finally heard that salvation was in him alone. I thought it was me. I had to be good enough, had to do good works and all these kind of things. And I do works because I'm saved, not to get saved. And finally, when I heard of Jesus, I thought, wow, I just have to trust him. And I turned, believed on Christ, and that day he made me whole. I don't know where you're at today, but perhaps someone here that you've never been born again. You know, and like, can I say this? I was baptized twice and before I ever got born again, because I kept trying to do something, you know. And like you may have prayed before, you may have did this before, but you know you're not saved. But you thinking, but I heard this work and I tried this, I tried that. But can I ask you very simple, what have you heard anything from Jesus today? If you've heard, you can be like everybody else in the crowd. But when God speaks, you know if he says you're the one. Because there's two voices going on right now. One voice is saying, who touched me? And the second voice is saying, who needs to touch me? There's some that can bear witness to everything I'm saying. God is the Lord, praise God. You know, just confirm, I'm in a situation right now. Yes, he's the one. I touched him. I can testify. When he touched me, when I reached out to touch him in this situation, I was helpless, I was hopeless. I reached out, he touched me, changed me. But there's some that's saying, you know what? I've got my issue. It's not blood, but it's an issue. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the one you need to reach out and touch. Whether it be salvation, whether it be situation, he's the one. And the great thing about all that, Jesus knows what your issue is. And wherever he's calling everybody to deal with the issue. Because remember, number one, you know why? You know why he's calling you to deal with your issue? Because issues separate us from God. And he created us, again, just to love us. Just to love us. So the invitation would be very simple. Do you need to touch him? Would you touch him? Father, I'm at a point right now, I wish I could articulate and say perfectly what's needed to cause your people to experience whatever they need from you. But Lord, I'm so grateful to know that even as I voice this prayer, you said in advance in your word that the life by the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not to pray as we ought. So not only do I not know what to say, but I don't even know how to pray in such a way that would cause these precious people to experience your great touch. So I would just say, Father, if there's anyone that have any issues in this room today, would you right now, Father, would you please use the Holy Spirit to bring back to mind from the preaching of the Word of God that which these precious people need to hear so that they would reach out to you, so that they could be made whole and they could be made whole. Thank you, Jesus Christ, who gives us the wonderful privilege to talk to you in prayer. Take a few moments and pray. Just keep your head bowed and talk to the Lord in a few moments. And if God touched your heart, and you know, we don't even need any music, but if God spoke to your heart, would you talk to him? Would you reach out to him? If you need to be saved today, you need some assistance with that, you need to see it in the Bible, and which is, if you don't know, we I would love to take you from the word, taking the word of God and show you how you can be born again. If you're a child of God and you know you have an issue that you've been struggling with, would you let God speak to you right now? Or if you've already heard of Jesus, as we said from the passage, would you please just trust Him and reach out to Him? And forget about the multitudes thronging. Forget about those many you've seen come. But would you, by faith, reach out to God, believe that He is, and reach out to Him for who He is.